We're looking at the qualifications for elders in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in the previous lesson, we looked at several of these qualifications or requirements for these men. But even though we've already looked at some of these, I want to read this section. The reading of the Word of God is always more important than any teacher's comments, and so I want to make sure that we get these words firmly in our minds by reading 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'd like for you to join with me, 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, the qualification that we're going to begin with in this lesson is in the last part of verse 2. It's the last qualification in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, the qualification that an elder must be a man who is apt to teach. Now, this qualification is oftentimes misunderstood. And it's misunderstood usually because of the word apt. Many people think that this means that maybe the man can teach and maybe he cannot. They think that he is liable to teach or liable not to teach. But the word apt here does not mean that there's any question about the man's ability to teach. The word that is used here actually means that the man is skillful in teaching. And it does refer to teaching by word, not just teaching by example, although that would be included because of his life. He's really already covered that and will cover that more as he talks about the man's life. But here, when he talks about teaching, he's not just talking about teaching by action, he's talking about teaching in word. And so an elder must be good at instructing other people on how to live the Christian life. Now, sometimes this instruction is done publicly, sometimes it's done privately, but the man who is going to serve as an elder must be able to instruct. He must be able to teach people how they are supposed to live. He must be able to take the Bible and teach it to other people. That means he must know his Bible and have the concern and have the ability to impart that information to other people. In verse 3, the Bible says that an elder is not to be given to wine. An elder is not to be a drinker. Drinking clouds his ability to think. It destroys his influence. And besides all that, drinking is a sin. Now, we're going to look later at what Paul says about the deacons, because I know that oftentimes there are questions about what Paul said about deacons and wine, because a deacon is not to be given too much wine. And we'll talk about what that means and what it does not mean later in this series. For now, we're looking at the elder in the church who is not to be given to wine. Now, there is a question about this qualification that I do want to address, and it's this. Since Paul says that an elder is not to be given to wine, does that mean that people who are not elders can be given to wine? And the answer is no. For instance, if we look at verse 3 and we carry out that reasoning, notice what happens. The Bible says that an elder is not to be given to wine. An elder is not to be a striker. An elder is not to be greedy of filthy lucre. An elder is to be patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Well, if we say that an elder is not to be given to wine, but other Christians can be, then that would mean that an elder is not to be a striker, but other Christians can strike. That an elder is not to be greedy, but other Christians can be. That an elder has to be patient, but other Christians don't have to be patient. That an elder is not to be a brawler, but it's okay for other Christians to be brawlers. An elder is not to be covetous, but other Christians can be just as covetous as they want to be. Obviously, that doesn't follow. What we find in the case of most of these qualifications is that they do apply to Christians in general, to members of the church as a whole, and not just to elders. Perhaps here they're specified because an elder is to show these to a higher degree or to a more noticeable degree, but the same basic ideas apply to Christians in general. Now then, let's go on to the next qualification, and that is that an elder is not to be a striker. And that means striking people with his fist. An elder has to solve problems with the Bible and by being level-headed, not with his fist. He's going to be tempted and he's going to be provoked by other people, but he has to have the self-control not to be, as the Bible says here, a striker. Now, obviously, this is not talking about a situation where somebody would break into an elder's home and he has to defend himself and defend his family. When Paul says that an elder is not to be a striker, he's talking about situations where an elder has to work out problems between people and problems with people. And in that kind of situation, he is to use the Bible and he is to use his faith and his love and his patience and not resort to something like this. The next qualification is that an elder must not be greedy of filthy lucre. Now, this means a greedy person, a person who is eager for base gain, a person who has his eye on money and will do whatever he needs to do in order to get it. A man who has the wrong attitude toward money cannot have the right attitude toward the church. And this describes a man who has the wrong attitude toward money. A man like this, if he is put in as an elder, will cripple the church. He's going to look at the Lord's money as if it was his money, and he may even be tempted to take from it. He's going to keep gifts from the needy. He's going to take away support from missionaries, and he's going to rob the preacher of the pay that he is due. So a man who has the wrong kind of attitude toward money should never be put in as an elder in the church, even if he is good at managing money. Let's suppose that he is good with figures. He's a good manager of money as far as his job is concerned. That doesn't qualify him in and of itself to be an elder in the church. And if he has a stingy attitude toward money, then he's going to hurt the work of the church. He does not need to be put in as an elder. The Bible says that he must be patient. Now, the word translated patience here means that he is to be fair, that he is to be gentle, that he is to be yielding. It doesn't mean that he just lets people walk over him or that he won't stand for the truth. But an elder must be a sensible man. He needs to know how to get along with people and teach other people to get along as well. And that takes a lot of patience. Now, every Christian needs patience. We all need more patience in our lives. But elders, because of the pressure that they're under, because of the load that they bear, because of the challenges that they face and the responsibility that they bear, really need a lot of patience. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, that he is not to be a brawler. Now, some of these words overlap, of course, and this overlaps somewhat with the qualification that says that he is not to be a striker. A brawler is a contentious person. A brawler is a quarrelsome person. And the eldership is no place for a man that is quarrelsome. It's no place for a man that wants to argue all the time and always have his way. A man who is an elder must not be a brawler in that sense. Then the Bible says that he is not to be covetous. He is not to be a lover of money. An elder has to be an unselfish man. And a man who is covetous is a selfish man. He has the wrong attitude toward money. And like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if a man has the wrong attitude toward money, he's going to have the wrong view of everything in his life. And a man like that has no business serving as an elder in the church. The souls of the congregation need his care. And if all he's concerned about is money and how to get his hands on money and how to keep money, then he's not going to be fit for that work. Then the Bible goes into the qualification of his children in verse 4 and 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And I suppose that this qualification has gotten more attention, and there have been more questions asked about this qualification as well as his wife than all these others combined. And I suppose that the reason that people ask so many questions about an elder's children and an elder's wife is because those two qualifications are easier to see. They're easier to assess. A man either has a wife or he doesn't. A man either has children or he does not. But when it comes to some of these other qualifications, like being sober and vigilant, like being given to hospitality, like being patient and so forth, those are somewhat harder to put your finger on and to identify. But that doesn't mean that we ought to highlight any one or any two of these qualifications and just neglect the others. But with that being said, let's notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, about the elder's children and about the elder himself. An elder is to be one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now the reason for this qualification is given in verse 5. For if a man know not, that is, if he does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If a man does not know how to lead his own family spiritually, then how is he going to lead the church spiritually? If a man allows his children to do anything, if he doesn't discipline them and lets them run wild and do anything that they want to do, then if you put a man in as an elder in the church like that, then he's going to do the same thing in the church. He's going to let the church run wild, and he's going to give no supervision and no direction to that church whatsoever. So a man begins proving himself to be qualified as an elder in the church, not only in his personal life, but also in his family life. You see, the lessons that he learns in leading his own house will be transferred in principle to his leadership in the church. He will take those same principles and he will apply them to dealing with people in the church. And so an elder is not required to have a certain level of public education, but he is required to go through some schooling. And I'm talking about the schooling of overseeing his family. Now, as I said, there are many questions that are raised about an elder's children. And what I want to do in the next lesson is to look at some of these questions. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 again as we begin in the next lesson. And we're also going to go to Titus chapter 1, verse 6, where the Bible says that the children of an elder must be faithful. And from there, we're going to deal with a few questions about this qualification.